But greetings to all of you. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Sabbath. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I was a young boy, I used to think about the job I might want to have when I was growing up. I would sometimes fluctuate, though, regarding which job I thought was most important. First, I thought it would probably be being a cowboy. That would be good. But then later, I thought, maybe I should be a policeman. Maybe that would be a more important job for me. And I said, well, what about a fireman? How about an ambulance driver? And then as I grew up and I got older, I realized something. I could never have the most important job, because the most important job is being a mother. That is, in my estimation, the single most important job that a person could ever have on this earth. Spanish proverb puts this in perspective. It says this: an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. And so today you guys get a number of pounds of clergy. Life doesn't come with an instruction manual, they say, but what it does come with is a mother. And the mother is the one who teaches the children the basics of life. And I'm convinced that being a mother is the single most important job on the earth. It's the most important responsibility, because the mother is the one who defines the entire future of the family. She's the one that helps create the values in the children that are going to be the next generation. And this job is so important, it's actually one of the commandments, isn't it? That we honor our mothers. Anyway, they create the values for the next generations, and they spend time with their young ones teaching them this. And to me, if there's any one word that epitomizes a motherhood, it's maternal love. That every action of a mother, I think, is born out of love as she deals with her children. You know, I have that statuary in my home. Most of you have seen it, and the mother is carrying her child, and they're almost melded together. And that shows this intimacy that mothers feel with the child that came out of their body. And so mothers nurture their children in a way that, frankly, men cannot do. Someone once wrote, "Mothers write on the hearts of their children what the cruel hand of the world cannot erase." And that's so true in so many cases. Statement is filled with truth. You know, our mothers loved us when we were stupid, which happened on occasion. They loved us when we didn't get it. They loved us when we did the wrong things. They loved us when they had to discipline us. It all came out of love. Proverbs 31, if you will. Our mothers loved us when we didn't give love back. They softened our world, as it were, in order to make it more livable. Whenever we hurt, who did we run to? We usually ran to a mom every time, it seems. So mothers give this comforting love to their children, their babies, and then they teach them as children. And the values they instill in their children forms the future of our nation. And so you can see what's happened to our nation as a result of breaking the family up, and I'll talk about that later. But studies have proven this truth. By the time a child reaches 18, the mother has expended some 18,000 hours of child care. Imagine that. That's an investment, isn't it? An illustration makes a point. Okay, second grade teacher was teaching some simple principles of physics, and one of the several things she taught about was magnetism. And so she explained the basic principle of magnetic attraction, and she demonstrated in front of the class. She got one of those great big magnets, U-shaped red magnets, and she showed them how hard it was to pull apart a piece of steel from that magnet. And so she showed how it would pick it up. So that Friday, she gives a test to the class. and one of the questions read this. My name has 6 letters. It starts with the letter M, and I can pick things up. What am I? And the teacher was so surprised when she read the papers, more than half of the class answered the question, I'm a mother. I pick up things that you'd leave laying around. Scripture speaks of the value of motherhood, and King Lemuel's mother was like so many others in that time, and she taught him lessons about life and women, and he wrote this in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And so I think that a virtuous woman is probably worth more than anything else in life. You know, people look at having a beautiful car, they look at having an important job, they care about money, but the most important thing in life is a virtuous woman, and she will make all the difference in everyone's life. She won't be perfect, but on the other hand, what gets me and what I think about is, why don't we show the mothers, the wives in our lives, why don't we show them more appreciation? Why don't we do that on a consistent basis? And I tell you this because I have an issue with Mother's Day. I do have an issue with it. That is, one day a year, we buy candy, we buy flowers, we take, mom out for dinner, and then we think, you know, we've gotten a card for her, you know, once every year. We think we've honored our mother. You understand how having this one day kind of gets us off the free, you know, cuts us free. We don't have to show appreciation any other time because we do it on Mother's Day. So it tends to make us think we've done enough. But the question I have today is this. Do we do her justice this way by having a single national holiday? Because I really think her job is the most important job in the world, because she's training the next generation and instilling the values in them. Anna Jarvis loved her mother so much, and she spent, I'm saying this as a backup to my issue that I have with Mother's Day, but Anna Jarvis loved her mother so much, and she just worked hard as she could to get a day of recognition for mothers. And finally, it was granted. And so we've developed Mother's Day, and then she spent the rest of her life trying to get it rescinded. And the reason she tried to get it rescinded was it had become commercialized, and it was nothing like what she meant. It had become sending a card. It had become taking mom to dinner, and then our obligation is finished. And that is not what she envisioned at all. And she felt it didn't honor mothers. And she wrote this, a printed card means nothing except that you're too lazy to write to the woman who has done more for you than anyone else in the world. Can you see her point in a way? I think Mother's Day is fine. I think it's good in its own way. But why don't we appreciate our mothers? Why don't we appreciate our wives more than that? Why do we let it go? Why do we think we've done what's necessary by just doing that? We've got to care. We've got to care. It's no less than the 5th commandment. We've got to show appreciation more often than just one day a year. And I'm encouraging people who can hear this to take this seriously in marriage and in raising a family, that men show more appreciation for their wives and the mothers of their children. The mother makes the family work. In verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So she is an example to the rest of the family, teaching the ways of God and making them fine adults, men and women. And the husband trusts her. He puts trust in her, and it shows respect, I think, in doing so. So she's an example to the rest of the family. And it says in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, I've known some women who care only about themselves, and some make decisions that actually hurt the family and cause suffering in the family. I've seen this happen in our generation, but of course this wasn't written for, regarding our generation. This is written for a basic formula for success and making the next generation decent and good and having right values. So she'll do him good all the days of her life. And in verse 13 and 15, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. So she rises also while it's yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So it's talking about a wife, but a wife is a mother, and a mother works hard in a family to provide. And what bothers me about our society today, and so many women having to go out and work, and so many women having to spend so much time, they come home exhausted, and they don't have time to spend with the family. They don't have time to play games with the children. They don't have time to teach the children. And our whole society is degenerating because of it. But these are the values that would ensure the next generation was virtuous and decent. But this is a woman who the mothers, the wives, they make sure the family is cared for. And they take a personal interest in this more usually than the man. But she ensures that the family in this scripture has good food, shops for the best bargains. And in one sense, I remember reading that the mothers are to the family like the merchant ships bringing in the goods to the city. You know, she's unloading all these wonderful foods like, you know, Oreo cookies, double stuffed. But she even can have her own money. And so my point today is that in families, sometimes I see men that almost imprison their wives because they put so many restrictions on what they can do and what they can't do. But we see here that God's way is to give more freedom to the women in our lives. And that she should even have her own money, and she could even start her own business. In verse 16, she considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hand. She plants a vineyard. And so many times I've seen this where the mother will spend some time building a garden so that her children can eat fresh fruits and vegetables that are not filled with chemicals and things that are harmful for her family. She girds her loins with strength, strengthens her arms. She's not lazy. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her candle doesn't go out by night. She lays her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, too. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. And so, again, if you can see what I'm talking about here, that you see a lady who's the mother of the family, the wife of the husband, who is working hard as an example, who is serving the family in all these different ways. And the point I make is this is the example that usually the husband is out working and not home a lot. But the example that mothers provide for their children, are they watching TV all day? Are they just sitting around? Or are they busy doing work and producing and organizing and doing those kinds of things that are godly? That makes such a difference. And those women that do those things deserve praise. They deserve incredible freedom, and they deserve to be able to buy whatever they want to buy. Now, I remember once I was helping a guy with an air conditioner once in the church in Los Angeles, and I remember his wife said how much she wanted to have a dishwasher But he wanted air conditioning, and she wanted a dishwasher. And you get my point, though. What do you think he got? I'm over there helping him put in an air conditioner. I didn't know anything about what was going on. But it turned out that I actually knew where somebody had one that wanted to get rid of it. You know, so she was able to get both. But my point is, in so many families, what we have is a husband and wife, and the husband gets what he wants. And I remember, there's a fellow, remember he came over to look at my motorcycle and he wanted that. He had several guitars, he had another motorcycle, and he had all the male toys. And his wife is pleading with him, don't buy any more, please don't buy any more. But it's so one-sided sometimes, is my point. That's my point today. It should be the other way around, that the husband is to be Christ-like, which is sacrificial love toward his wife. That's what we're supposed to do. And so it's my reminder today, on Mother's Day, on the eve of it. So, back to the notes here. You know, one of the things that I think is the most endearing thing about mothers, that I have seen at least, is the fact that they care about others and that they are nurturing. And it's a beautiful thing to see when their little child makes a cut or gets a boo-boo or, you know, bruises their elbow or their knee or something, and they run to mommy, and mommy there consoles them and makes them feel they're going to be okay. So she usually, a person that's like that, usually also gives to others. And so she stretches out her hand to the needy, not afraid of the snow in her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. But you read that and you think, well, she's not afraid of the weather outside because everybody's wearing red. That's not what it means. Scarlet just means that it's doubled over, it's thick. She makes her clothing thick and well for her children. So, everybody wearing red. Okay. She dresses herself well and takes care and grooms herself in verse 22. Makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You know why he can sit there in the gate? Because that's where the elders sit. They make the judgments. You know why? Because his family is in control. They reflect the values and standards of God. But if he had all the wisdom in the world, all the education in the world, and all the virtues in the world, and if his home was an absolute ugly mess, he would never have that chance to be at the gate. But his wife makes it possible because she keeps a good home, and her children are under control, and makes it possible for that man to advance in life. They're very valuable, extremely valuable, and we should honor that. And we should understand it. She makes fine linen and sells it, delivers girdles to the merchant. This lady is the ideal one, of course, who's helping provide for the family and doing her part. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Man, that's so nice. I've seen a lot of mothers and they correct their children. They're not doing it in anger. They're not screaming at them. They're not cussing at them. They're not calling them names. They're correcting them in kindness. And the children know this is for our own good. It's a beautiful thing to see. She teaches them by example. And over time, a mother has the potential to mold their children's mind. She molds their character. And the value of this cannot be discounted because, again, I remind everybody, those children are the future of the entire nation. And that's the command with promise, that God will bless us if we will honor our parents. So God commanded us that we're to teach our children. And when we do, We're to do it when we come in, when we go out. And young children spend most of the time, as in their youth, they spend most of the time with the mother. And she shares the wisdom that she has come to learn over her lifetime with them, and it enables them to go forward with knowledge. But also, when the children are loved by the mother, they have a good sense of self-esteem and they value themselves. And there can't be much more important than this, because there's a lot of people that think, I could never do that, I could never be one of those, you know, I would never have a chance, because they were browbeaten as children. But a good, virtuous woman, a good, virtuous mother, will build a sense of personal, strength of mind and strength of heart and belief in themselves and what they can do, as they teach them just doing chores around the house. And so they teach their children, just as it says the older women teach the younger, they teach them how God's law applies in life. And I think that's so important that, you know, I remember I'd bring my kids home, we'd have dinner, you know, we'd all sit around the table, I'd ask them, what did you do today? And they'd talk to me about how their friends reacted with them and what they were doing at school and how the interactions were going on. And I'd always explain to them, you see how this fits the law in this way, or fits the law in that way. Who is obeying the law at school, and who is not obeying God's law at school? And look at the trouble they get into. They would always have a path of destruction and problems and difficulties following them wherever they go when they didn't keep God's law. And you could show them that by talking to them, by describing it, by listening to them, and understanding what they're dealing with at school, which sometimes is very difficult to keep on the straight and narrow when the rest of the classes are going in every direction. So she prepares her daughters to be mothers, and she prepares her boys to be fathers, but she also serves as a counselor to her husband. And I think a lot of people don't realize how valuable this is, you know. There's a difference. You know, men have a leadership role in the family, that's right. But we need to become one with our wives, who are the mothers of our children. And here's the reason why. They supply a side of life that we don't have. Women are different than men in that they're more able to sense where other people are coming from. Men don't see that stuff. But women can often meet somebody and they'll say, bad guy, you know, or good guy. And they can sense it and feel it. They have an intuitive element, and men can learn from them, and they should include that in their conversations or their judgments. You understand what I'm saying? To become one together so that you can use her skills of being able to determine people's attitudes and their moods and their intent. They're very good at that, very helpful in that way. And so it's an enormous value to their husbands, an enormous value to their children, who's hanging with who. You notice that when kids went to school and who they hung with made such a difference. But the father and the mother working together can kind of reprogram them back to the decent ways of life. So anyway, in verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household, and she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. This is the life of a woman. It is. She does a lot to the family. She provides a lot. She gives a lot. And I say, one day a year, I think that we ought to really be appreciative more often, and I think we should express that appreciation more often. Her children rise up in verse 28 and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. What do you think is happening here? Appreciation is being shown on a regular basis. You make a difference in the family. I need you. Thank you for what you bring. Thank you for what you give. Thank you for who you are. That's what's happening in these verses. Favor's deceitful, Beauty's vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Yes, we should do that. This is my point today. This is actually a command from God that we, honor our parents. It says, a woman who fears God is to be praised. She's to be given praise. And so the Bible's telling us, do not take mom for granted. Give her the respect and love for all that she gives the family. If she wants something, help her do it. Help her attain it if there's something that she wants in life. Work, make sacrifices if necessary so that she can have what she would like to have and do what she'd like to do. And I say this, in families today, I see so many times that young kids don't show respect to their mother. Do you understand? In my family, even if I had an issue with my wife, those kids respected her. They respected her, and if she was talking, they didn't talk. They listened. And I think that's the way it should be. And I think they should have nothing but praise for her and her husband. Isn't it interesting that, you know, men are kind of stupid this way? We don't know what the words to say. But did you notice that God actually told us the words to say? So if nobody knows what I should say or how I should say it or how I should compliment or how I should, praise my wife, you excel all the rest to me. You excel all the rest to me. There's nobody that does it better. There's nobody I'd rather be with. You're better to me than every single other woman who exists on the earth. That's what he's telling us to do, to say to our wives. And I say this, I've read many books, and in every psychological book that I've ever read, or counseling book I've ever read, it says this, the long-lasting marriages, the ones that last a long time, and the ones that are fulfilling and happy, that the individuals will give praise to the other one 5 times a day. 5 times a day. They stroke them. By that I mean they give them a compliment. So look, good morning, sweetheart. So good to see you here, you know. Boy, you look nice today. You know, I'm so glad that I'm married to you. You know, how about a kiss, sweetie? Love your kisses. You understand my point? You can say that all day long. And why not? Why not tell them, I like what you're, how you dress. I like your choice here. I like this. Why not do that to help build them? Why not do that? As she ages, he tells her, the husband tells his wife, and the mother, you're looking youthful is not important to me. Carrying yourself like you some bombshell is not important to me. Having this world sense of glamour is just fake. It's all vain. The respect the woman has for God elevates her. Elevates her in our mind because she's living God's way. And she deserves praise for the faithfulness that she exhibits. And so her works, the Bible says, deserve praise. Dr. James Dobson is the founder of Focus on the Family. He said this, countless times each day, and I ask you to listen to this. I know I'm reading and it's boring sometimes, but this is brilliant. Countless times each day, a mother does what no one else can quite do as well. She wipes away a tear, whispers a word of hope, and eases a child's fear. She teaches, ministers, loves, and nurtures the next generation of citizens. Moreover, she challenges and cajoles her children to do their best and to be their best. But no editorials praise these accomplishments. Where is the coverage our mothers rightfully deserve? Man, I think that's kind of a very important point here. You don't read a lot about how great that mothers are, how much they contribute to the family, and how important they are. For centuries, men have taken women for granted. We didn't honor them the way we should. We didn't. All throughout history, we didn't. We've acted as if their contribution was just expected, and we haven't shown appreciation enough. We were the men. We were the important ones. We were in charge, and the woman was made for us. I've heard ministers say that in counseling when they had problems. You know, you're made for me. But you understand that mankind is made for God, and God sacrificed his life for us. That's the relationship we're to have, that yes, she was made for us to learn how to love, to learn how to give, and to be learning how to live sacrificially for somebody else other than ourselves. We failed as men down the line. We did. And so the women went a different direction. Rather than being this woman, rather being this mother, they decided they would get the strokes that they wanted. We didn't honor them the way they the way we should, and we just expected them to do what they did, and we didn't appreciate them, didn't give them the recognition, and so now they went where they can get that appreciation. You know where that is? The workplace. Because every time they get a check, it's like, atta girl, you're doing a good job, and then they get promoted, and wow, that's great. But they're in the workplace now. They're not at home teaching the kids. The schools are teaching the kids, and the schools, as you see in the news, almost every day, they are some kind of instructor that is teaching the wrong thing, teaching lies, teaching all kinds of, what I say, lefty, and I don't mean just politically, but I mean they're teaching them that it's okay to be transgender. They're teaching them that they should not think any other way than that. They're teaching them about, you know, sanctuary cities, and they're teaching them about all kinds of things. My daughter was in second grade, and I used to always ask my kids what they did at school that day, and my daughter says, we saw a movie. I said, well, really, what was it about, Debbie? And she said, it was about a king that got shot. She's in the second grade, and they're giving her stuff about Martin Luther King. She's watching a movie about him being shot. You understand? In the second grade, she can't understand this at all, but they're starting already to teach them their political views instead of reading, writing, and arithmetic. So you understand where I'm coming from here. We made a mistake by not appreciating mothers enough in the beginning. And we drove many of them to go out into the workplace where they do get appreciation and they do get respect and they get a paycheck and they can do whatever they want with their money. And so it's because we men, I think, failed in what God expects us to do, and that is have sacrificial love and make sure they're taken care of. So anyway, they get compensation there. But now the schools and the institutions are training our children. And it happened for several reasons. But basic to this change in the family and women working is one reason. We didn't see the enormous value of our women. And I say today that we men need to repent of that and start thinking about it. I asked you today, think about a world without mothers. Think about it. Picture a world without women. Can you see us, men, opening up a can of beans, stick a spoon in the can and eat out of it? That would be that's pretty much the way it would go, the way it was before we had a woman, you know. You imagine your house that you're living in, there's no flowers in it, there's no beautiful drapes, it's not pretty, it's not attractive, it's not warm and inviting, it's just stark, because that's the way we would probably do it, you know. Anyway, it'd be so much less compassion in life, there'd be so little motivation for us to build cities. You know that's why we build cities? That's why we do things, because we want you to look up to us. That's why we do what we do. You know, it's interesting. No reason, if we didn't have women, there'd be no reason to build a nice home. There wouldn't be, you know. And think of where the world would be without our women. It wouldn't be a world worth living in. And so I think we owe the highest esteem to our mothers. And our gift of the life we have came from her. We came from her. Without her, we would not exist at all. We would have no life at all. And none of the joys that we have, no calling, none of that. So anyway, you understand what I'm getting here. Her love and nurturing and beliefs are among the strongest influences in a family, and we need to encourage that, and we need to appreciate that. So Virgil Reed writes this: there's something in mothers that shows us what God is really like. From their unconditional love, we see that He is the kind of God who's totally committed to our welfare. And I think that's very legitimate. There is an aspect of God that we can see in women. And there isn't one of us, I don't think, that isn't thankful. But men don't often express it. And so I'm asking us to consider that. You know, there isn't one of us that doesn't appreciate the women in our lives. But sometimes we don't express it because we're men, after all. But my point is that we do feel it, but I'm saying it. I think it's time we expressed it, because they need it. They actually need it. And so let's give it to them because they need it. An example: four scholars were arguing over the Bible translations. Thus, we're good at that. Arguing over what Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty. Another said he liked the New American Standard Version because it was more literal and it gave the reader a confidence of its accuracy. A third scholar was sold on the New Living Translation, and he used it because he said there were contemporary phrases in it and idioms that we use today. And it would take complex, difficult scriptures, and it would smooth them out in ways that were easy to understand. Doesn't matter if it's right or not, of course, but you understand that's what it does do. And it can capture the meaning of difficult ideas. But after being quiet for a moment, fourth scholar admitted, "I personally prefer my mother's translation." Other scholars started laughing about it. Then the fourth scholar answered their laughter and said this: "Yes, she translated the scriptures. My mom translated each page in the Bible into her life. And that's how I learned about the Bible." It's the most convincing translation you will ever find. And it's so valuable. I ask, why don't we appreciate what they give more? Youth fades. Infatuation droops, friendships drift. A mother's love generally tends to outlive all of that. So to all the mothers out there, millions of thanks to you for what you've done and what you've given to the rest of humanity. A faithful mother makes the world a better place without any question. And so I want to say this: Happy Mother's Day.